And really what got me out of it was my husband.
My husband and my son changed my life.
All of a sudden, Mr. Wright came into my life and I hated him.
The documentary opens with people working regular jobs. Nothing shocking about their titles, but if you didn't recognize their faces, you'd never know they were once adult entertainers.
No one comes into this business to want to be normal on the back end of it. Nobody thinks that it's going to end. If you jump on a merry-go-round, you hope the ride never ends. I don't think many of them can spell the word future. I don't think they did this as a short-term investment in their own future, but they burned out.
After Prawn Ends takes us inside the lives of retired performers, presenting what looks like a story of redemption. But what if it's not redemption at all? What if it's a story of codependency, a cycle where freedom turns into reliance and empowerment becomes dependency rebranded? Because for most of these women, their so-called salvation came the same way, through the emotional and financial support of men.
Now it's time for us to get into this and do what we gotta do. Because we many, we... Yeah! We many, we...
If you're looking for a long career in the porn business, you're probably looking in the wrong place. The average girl might be good for 2 years, 2 to 3 years tops for the average girl. If you're lucky and you're one of the few superstars, not very many of those, okay, then maybe you get, 6, 7 years, 8 years. And if you play your cards right and do your financial thing right, then you can, make some money and set yourself up.
At the end of the day, this is a profession, one of the oldest in human history. These women use the money to pay their bills, survive, or chase that short burst of fame. But like Randy West said, this career has an expiration date, 2 to 3 years on average, 7 if you hit the jackpot. But even for those who do, the price tag is permanent.
I was working for a builder, a home builder here, and corporate came to my community and shut the doors and said, "We need to talk to you. Someone recognized you. We know who you are, and you are too recognizable, and we're too conservative of a company, and we're going to have to let you go."
There isn't that much of a future after the X-rated industry, because somehow, somewhere, somebody will find you. The famous line I used to say to anybody walking into my office when I ran the biggest agency: "What are you going to do 10 years from now when your kid brings home a magazine with you laying in the middle of it with a candle shoved up? You're going to tell them you're playing the part of a birthday cake?" It doesn't go away.
You can take every other category, every other idea, every other thought. Basically, happiness and success in life all boils down to what are the quality of your bonds with other people. Having anything to do with the adored industry hacks away those bonds, so you're isolated, alienated, pushed away to the margins, and not treated as a human being. That's a recipe for disaster for me and for anyone else.
It is legal work, but it's with pictures. People say, you should go into politics. Like, there's too many pictures of me in my ass. It is not going to happen.
Look at that. Grandma talking like that on camera. It's funny, yeah, but also sad. That moment right there is the punchline of the entire industry. It's the illusion of empowerment colliding with reality. No matter how much you own it, time wins. And once the audience stops buying the fantasy, the world doesn't know what to do with you. Because even if she wanted to keep working, the business won't let her. This is a young woman's game. There's always another 18-year-old ready to replace you. But the bills? They don't retire. And that's when the pattern begins. The search for emotional or financial rescue. When the lights go off and the money stops, who steps in? The men do.
And really what got me out of it was my husband. Because when I met Ron, he had no idea who I used to be. Ron loved me for me. And he could have had a much younger woman, could have had a much better looking woman, could have had a woman with a lot more money. But he fell in love with me. He didn't know anything about that part of me. And the fact that he accepted me for who I was and loved me for who I was taught me how to love me, really. And his love for me has reconnected me with the person that I was before I ever did any of this crap.
Here we go. the classic simp jutsu rescue story. Ron, the man who didn't care about her past, had younger options, prettier options, and still just loved her for who she was. But let's be honest, this is Captain Save a Starlet in action. A man stepping in to rescue a woman who never actually asked to be rescued. Or maybe she did, just not with words.
No one puts a gun to anybody's head to do this. If you're not warned about what's going to happen, then the person who didn't warn you is the person who's guilty in that respect. But they're doing it for the one thing that they cannot deny, that absolute death wish for the recognition, validation, and credibility. And they're welcome to it. But eventually their past will catch up to them, and they have to be aware of the fact that X is forever.
See that? Voluntary. These aren't victims chained in basements. They're adults making choices. We broke this down before in the Vanessa Del Rio video. Most entered the industry willingly, often chasing money, fame, or attention. And that's what makes Tiffany's story interesting. She wasn't broke. She inherited money from her father. So Ron wasn't paying her bills. He was patching her spirit. Emotional support, constant reassurance, the endless job of reminding her she's still worthy.
All of a sudden, Mr. Wright came into my life. And I hated him when I first met him. His whole life, he was raised in Christian school from like, he went to the same school, the same kids from like kindergarten to like 12th grade. He was like most valuable player. He did sports. His mom had all these trophies. She has a book this thick just on newspaper clippings on him. So I was like jealous already. I hated his guts. He would like knock on my door and I would answer and go, what do you want? And he goes, I'm here to clean your house. And I'd be like, what are you doing? He goes, you're filthy. Like, because I didn't cook and I didn't clean and I was falling apart. So he literally cleaned my whole house with rags for me. And I just stopped working, didn't want to prostitute anymore and lie anymore. And we just hit it off. He was so sweet and he never once pursued me sexually. So we ended up getting married on Valentine's Day, 1995.
Mr. Wright comes in and she hated him. Like I always say, a good man can make a woman feel bad because she's not a good woman. A bad boy, on the other hand, makes her feel better about herself because he takes away the pressure of being a good woman. Men like Mr. Wright were always there, but these women didn't want stability. Nah, that's boring. But rock bottom? That's not so comfortable, is it? Why do you think she stopped escorting? Because Mr. Wright was now handling the responsibilities. It's one thing to offer emotional comfort, but at the end of the day, bills still need to be paid. These women, adult actresses or not, are women first.
My husband and my son changed my life. And my son saved my life. And looking at him every day reminds me how precious life is. And how throwing it away on drugs and alcohol and just the stupid crap that's out there. God, it's just so not worth it, you know?
There it is, the cycle. When financial hardship hits, she returns to the same industry she once escaped, and her husband joins her. Looking back from 2025, both Tiffany and Raylene are divorced. Raylene now posts real estate videos, proof that when the well runs dry, survival instincts take over. The camera changes, but the hustle remains.
The money that I did save up went really quick. And then I was just scraping by. And it was the Christian community that really came alongside me and helped me out. There would be times when didn't know how I was going to pay my rent. And it was just people I don't even know. Just people who have read my story who wanted to help.
My husband died in a car accident driving home from Las Vegas. I had asked him not to do this whole gig, actually. I was 8 months pregnant. I didn't want him away from me that long. And He's like, I got to do it, honey. But he cut it down to 2 days. And so he was really happy coming home on the second day that he was all done with this. And he came racing home to be with his pregnant wife. And he flipped the Jeep and didn't ever make it home. Suddenly he's gone. And now here I am, got no more income coming in and all these bills to pay. And it was just like one thing on top of another. And so I put up a plea on my website asking for donations. I didn't know what else to do. No insurance, no money, bills. My fans donated enormous amounts of money. The kids were completely spoiled. They got toys and books and presents and stuff with pictures on it. And just, it was unbelievable. Like, it made me cry all the time. I would open all the mail from all these people I'd never met. And it was really wonderful how the fans turned out to help me. Because, you know, I'd been online for 10 years. They watched me grow up and I'd never asked for anything before. And here I was, I needed help. And they helped me.
And here it is, the full circle. When the spotlight fades, who steps in? Men. Whether it's a husband, a fan base, or an entire church community, it's always men offering the emotional or financial lifeline. It proves what we've been saying all along. Dependency doesn't disappear. It just changes form. The irony? The same women who once preached independence end up relying on male support to rebuild their lives. That's not empowerment. That's dependency with better PR.
Most of the people who seek it out don't have means of making that kind of money by other means. I mean, very few, say, women say, am I going to become a surgeon or I'm going to become a pornography star?
This country does not raise people with very good work ethics. They don't know how to do anything else. They don't know how to do retail. They don't know how to do Excel spreadsheets. Many people who make their way to adult entertainment, like rock and roll, are not suited for 9-to-5 work.
For the women, they're much more damned by society because no matter how sanctified they are, they're still considered to be whore. And it's getting worse and worse and worse because a lot of them have turned to what I am vehemently opposed to, the escort services, to further their career.
As always, these videos aren't made for women. They're made for men. Because men need to recognize the pattern. When you give without standards, you reinforce the very system that takes advantage of you. Many, 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 many of the men dating or marrying adult entertainers hide it. They don't want to be seen with them in public. But behind closed doors, those same women talk and word spreads. There's always a man out there who will take me back no matter what. That's the cycle. And it's not limited to the adult industry. It's a reflection of modern dating culture itself. Look at the Mia Khalifa example, made famous for one identity, now rebranded as a victim of it. That's the modern playbook. Rewrite the past, sell the struggle, and rely on the sympathy of men. Gentlemen, here's the takeaway. Have dignity, have standards, and understand the power of your participation. Because as long as men keep rewarding bad choices, those choices will never stop. Listen to all. Follow none. Think for yourself. Management, we working. Protect yourself at all times. This video has officially been highlighted.